Blog Talk Radio.
We are go for liftoff in T minus 30.
Hit the record button.
My guess is going to be a little bit late, and that's fine. I just read my, but that's okay because I was watching Shannara Sanders. She had a show last year. It's called Ask a Black Woman, which is the one-man show she did at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And actually, I'm watching it live right now. I'm watching it live. Well, not live. I'm watching it on YouTube. By the way, for those that are listening, I'm going to probably put a link to her full show, which she posted on Shannara Star is the name of the YouTube channel, where she's posting all about that, as well as her upcoming projects that she has going on. But I'm going to wait until she comes on so she can tell us all about it. In the meantime, I don't have anything to do, so I'll probably edit this out anyways. But we'll see. We'll just wait a few more minutes. Actually, 8 minutes, so you probably won't even listen to this. It's just me rambling. Alrighty. Let's come back.
We are go for liftoff in T-minus 30.
Hit the record button.
Hello, hello. This is Italo from Italo's Black Radio. Hi, Shannara.
Look. Hi, Shannara.
Anyways, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm great. I was actually watching your your one-woman show from that I missed last year on YouTube. I'm like, oh my God, the full show? Are you serious? So I was watching. I'm halfway there, but yeah, it looked really great. But yeah, welcome to the show. It's been
a long time. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being flexible when with me having running over, literally trying to do back to back people on the same night. So thanks for being understanding.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I'm not gonna edit that out anyway, so it's not gonna be. It will be like nothing happened. So yeah, that's a wonderful editing technology today. Well, I'm getting good at it. Actually, I'm getting better at putting videos up on YouTube, and I see that you have two channels. I'm like, wait a minute, there's Shanero Star and Shanero Sanders. So I don't know if you want people to know that.
Shanero Sanders is an offshoot, but Shanero Star is the main one. That's where everything is.
Okay. Yeah, and actually I was listening to the one that you, and I've seen this one before. I don't know if I saw it on Facebook, but I see you were the one that you titled, I Changed My Mind After 5 Years.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. I like that one. Yeah, sometimes you have to be grateful, right?
Yeah,
and just be in the moment, exactly. So tell us what's been going on with you. I mean, it's been a wild couple months or 3 months or long now. But how you doing? How's life?
Life is great. I'm very grateful. The last time we spoke, it was right around, I think right when I was doing HFF, Hollywood Film Festival, Fringe Festival, excuse me. Just last year, I was able to perform it at other places. My last Axelbach Woman performance was for the In Fringe Festival of New Orleans back in November. And that was fantastic. It was a different thing. It's down south, and so I learned some things, too, about different audiences, especially with the heavy material I was doing. But it was a wonderful time. It was actually my first time ever being in New Orleans, and I love that place. It was just everything to me. It was total Southern hospitality. I probably gained 5 pounds in that week I was there. It was just great. That was definitely a big deal to me doing that show. And then at the top of the year, I was juggling proposing that to different mediums. So getting it at universities, that's my main thing. And it wasn't easy, but I was starting to crack it open just by being persistent and calling the gatekeepers and the doorkeepers, and I was just starting to get some traction at the top of the year. But then I have other endeavors that are going on. So I was in the midst of finishing up this ebook, my first poetry ebook. So it's not available for print yet, and which is pretty, I think it's really applicable for the times that we're in. It's called Poetic Affirmations. My Mouth Speaks Peace. Very, very quick ebook, about 20 pages long. It's visual and verbal compilation of affirmations, but it's in the vein of spoken word, if you will. You can actually listen to me do a few of them on my SoundCloud, which is Shanero the Mouthpiece on SoundCloud. And you'll hear it when I was starting to drop little teasers around February, March. I was dropping little teasers before I finished putting it together in the ebook for people to just gobble it all up. And so I'm very proud of that. Never dropped a poetic ebook before, and I got my juices flowing. And so it's, not so shameless plug. It's just $5, but it's really, really good stuff. And so you have Poetic Affirmations for Joy. an artist affirmation, no starving artist affirmation. You have one for peace. You have one about getting hired. Anything you can think of lifting people up, but very practical. And so we can, you know, I can do one of those a little later while we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the
book. Yeah, yeah, I'd
love
to hear that.
But thank you. And so I also, at the same time, one of the offshoots that I do that really has nothing to do with performing or writing that I'm a natural at is cooking. I cook really well. I love to eat. I love to try new things outside of the foods I grew up on. And me living in Los Angeles for 5 years now, the one thing I really, really dig is the Asian markets, because I'm vegan, the Asian market, and definitely the Latin supermarkets too, because I just love really good fresh vegetables and varieties. I don't want the regular schmegler. So I've tried so many new things since I've been here, and it definitely influences what I cook. And so then I came up with an idea in honor of my mother, Mama D, who passed December 20th, 2018. I decided after I had a couple of my friends over my place, and I used to make, I made my friends some popcorn, and they kept going on and on about my popcorn. And it's the same thing that used to happen when I owned my hair salon. I would make the popcorn and serve up lemonade for free for my clients, and then it got to a point where my clients would ask me to, can you take an extra bag so I can take home to my husband? He loves your popcorn. I wasn't even charging it back then. But then when I was here recently last year, my friends were like, they said, this is so good. You should sell this. And I wasn't really trying to sell popcorn. You know, like I feel like any endeavor I do, it is going to take my time and my financial resource away from the main thing. So I really wasn't trying to do it, but I got bit with the bug because one thing I missed from when I had a home in Chicago is entertaining people. I love cooking for people. It's a affirmation of love. And so even with me starting the popcorn business, I'm going to make some money off of it. But the fact that people, oh, my, this is so good. It's not just that it's good tasting. I know that food is like an action of love, and they really dig it. When I'm in there doing what I do, mixing my herbs and spices on that popcorn, I take that real personal, you know. And so that's just another expression of me, and the bold flavors reminds me of my mama. She was a bold lady. If you think the mouthpiece got a lot to say, and you know, these women from my lineage, short and mighty and creative, and so that's why I call it Mama D's Fried Popcorn. And so I started that business. I actually was going around the city and over in the South Central area around Leimert Park, all around there, and a lot of the newer cafes that was starting to have a lot of open mic sets, I would go and sit on the mic, but then I had the idea to ask the owners if I could set up a popcorn. And like Hot and Cool Cafe off of Degnan would let me come on in the evening, get a table, wouldn't charge me for the table. He said, no, set up your thing and whatever you make, you keep. And so I was starting to make a little buzz the first 2-3 months of the year. Then I was starting to collaborate with a couple of other, Sip and Sonder. I was starting to make proposals because I had ideas for a collaboration. I'm like, how do I put my poetry and my popcorn together? So I wanted to initially do an event like with my popcorn and my poetry together in, you know, an establishment. But then COVID-19 took over. We got all these new parameters, et cetera, et cetera. And then I came up with an idea to do it virtual, hence my new poetic popcorn set filming right here in my my place. And I will be doing poetry, some in the ebook, some not, no one's ever heard. And I'll also be showing people, you know, popcorn. I'll be showing them a sample of a new drink I made. Just literally when I finally sat down and watched the Netflix for the first time in like forever, and I get ideas, and I made it. So it's going to be real cool. I'm going to be playing my own music, spitting my own poetry, and it's going to happen on Saturday, May 30th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. People can hit me. I'll be doing it from my Instagram page, The Mouthpiece, and they click on my IG Live. I'll be ready to go. It'll be my own virtual daytime kickback. So it's like, you know, I live by the philosophy: you can, you know, you don't have to have permission to do it. Of course, it's nothing like the in person type of thing, the vibe that's in the air, but we don't have that luxury right now, and so. You know, now the thing is the virtual thing. And so whether 200 or 2,000 people log in, I think I have a really good idea going here, and I'm going to roll with it. So I really hope people will log on to my Instagram Live, The Mouthpiece, which is M-O-U-T-H-P-E-A-C-E, and get a taste of my poetic skills and be curious enough to purchase some popcorn. Right now I want to conquer this local market before I do deliveries and mail it out. I'll have the popcorn for pickup for the moment. But it's really good. It's really good. You can go to my website and you'll see the reviews for people who've already purchased it and can't get enough. So, yeah.
Right. Cool. Wow,
so if you can see, you let me go on and on and on. I got the popcorn business. I got the new ebook popping.
A lot of stuff going on with you.
If that wasn't enough, I just started into professional speaking as well. So I've been training under this comedian, mega professional speaker by the name of Judy Carter. I'm a real big fan of audiobooks. And I was driving Uber part-time towards the end of last year. And, you know, in between, I'd be listening to my audiobooks in the car, and they'd be making suggestions. And so she came up in the queue, and I breezed through that audiobook about professional speaking, and it was so good that I decided to buy the hardcover and do the exercises that came with it. And come to find out, the woman's here in Hollywood, and I thought it was fantastic. And so just being trained by her and realizing that I definitely have some stories worth telling that can benefit people in a lot of ways. And so I had my first virtual speaking gig a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking to definitely do more on that tip. So got a lot of pots on the stove right now. I guess, you know, I'm a woman without children, and so these are my babies, if you will. You know, that's right. I think that's one of the major reasons why I can have all this stuff going on.
That's awesome.
That's the summarized version of what I've been doing for the last 9 months, if you will.
Well, it's wonderful that you're staying creative, you're staying positive. We need to have that. So, what else can we do but stay at home, stay in quarantine, and be safe whenever we're out and about, and just I was actually hoping to do Hollywood Fringe Festival this year, but of course we heard that's being postponed. So we'll just keep our eyes open. Hopefully it goes back to somewhat normal, because it's not gonna be the way it was before, but. You know, it's good to keep your mind busy and keep your spirits up, and just stay off the news. Sometimes the news is like so negative and so controversial and so contradicting and so confusing. And I myself, actually, I have decided. People have noticed. I never knew people were even looking at me on Facebook or anything. But somebody said yesterday, or I think the day before yesterday, he's like, hey, I noticed that you're staying away from Facebook now. Like, what happened, right? But I'm like, yeah, it was a personal decision. It wasn't because what I experienced, but there's so much, I don't know if you feel the same way, where people are so quick to tell you things virtually instead of face-to-face, or calling you and telling you how they feel. Namely, friends, you know, that I consider to be friends, and they just go on and on a tangent on Facebook, and also waking up every morning and instead of giving thanks, you know, for being alive, and instead of reaching out to people you haven't talked to in the past before, you know, in a while, see how they're doing and stuff like that. Like I actually have a few friends that I have kept in contact, and so Facebook to me feels a very negative place to be, and also very censored kind of, because you can't really do much talk about what's happening, right? So I don't like censorship. I don't like to be censored myself, and so you know what? Let's just have a little diet from social media, and so. But yeah, I'm glad that you're keeping busy and your book is out, and I will make a point to tune in to on, you said May 30th, so hopefully, and then it stays on Instagram. I think it stays on Instagram for 24 hours in case you miss it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried that before.
I was thinking, that's such a proactive thing for you to take a leave of absence off of social media when you see it's being too much. I fell down a rabbit hole back in March. I'm a part of a Facebook group that has to do with primarily small business owner. I hate to say small business only because they're not like large corporations, but many of the people in that Facebook group are very successful, very knowledgeable. And up until that point in March, I always felt very comfortable posting. Like I could go in the group and ask questions and or make comments about things. And so I had a very unfortunate circumstance with a vendor. And I didn't just make a complaint about the vendor, but I used it as an example. So I didn't give the name of the vendor, but I said, this is what happened. But I'll tell you, as a consumer, on the consumer side, what it felt like and what it looked like and why I wouldn't be returning. But this is what I, as a consumer, if she had done X, Y, Z, she wouldn't lose a customer. And I think people treat customers a certain way because they have a prejudice against what they think a person may or may not spend. I felt like because my purchase was small initially, it's like my complaint didn't mean anything. And I said, that's crazy because I was literally in the market for more services that she could provide. But because it was so blatantly wrong, I felt like, wow. It's not just that I'm not even going to return back to you for the other services and I'm going to go somewhere else, but I'm likely to make a Yelp about you, you know what I'm saying, that's going to be negative, and anybody else that mentions in my circle of influence, if they were able to mention you, I'd say, no, don't go there. Or the other adverse issue, I would never refer you. So it's never just my one sale. It's my next potential sale, as well as my big mouth telling other people to go to you or not go to you. So I gave that big example in the group, and it was literally an all-night thing. I tell you, my post got close to 300 responses because there were people in there dragging me. It was almost as if, as a consumer, I had no right to even say anything. And so they had a lot of ego and all of that. And I hadn't been down a Facebook rabbit hole debate in the, like, the better of 3 years, because I had all, after I had been down a rabbit hole a few years back, I promised myself I would never do it again.
Yeah.
But when this happened, and I was, I said, that is literally 20 hours of my life I'll never get back, because it went
yeah.
from like 5 to 10 p.m. I kept going back on my phone, and then I woke up the next morning and said, no, I won't do it. But then my phone notifications were in, and they were saying stuff that I couldn't resist, and I didn't, and I was so upset with myself. And so I didn't take myself off social media, but I haven't been in that group since. I just thought they were despicable, so I did bar myself from that. But all that to say, if anybody ever comes, if there's anything that I don't rock with, you can, like, if I don't want to see it, like, you could be posting it on your own page. But if I don't like it, if it's negative, it's a disagreement, I would never go on anyone's page and try to tell them about themselves. That is, I don't care what you say on your page. I have the right to unfriend you, mute, and block you. Done.
Right.
That's how I keep my stuff
sanitized,
but I don't have to police grown folks. Because as awful as human beings can be, they got the right to say whatever they want to say. And if you come on my page being disrespectful because we have different opinions, you're going to get blocked, deleted, and all of that too. So because I have been on social media sabbatical, and I'm not trying to go on one now, but in order for me to keep it clean, fixed, listen, I will be boop, 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 boop. And that's how I keep everything joy still in my space.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, it's your
space.
It's your, it's your, you know, your happy place.
It's amazing to me that people feel dignified to go on someone else's page and run the rabbit hole, run it down, and cuss them out and drag them. I'm like, that is so disrespectful. Like, that's like coming to my house and trying to tell me how to run my house. Excuse me, who pays the rent here? You can go turn right around about the door. That's how I look at that. And I couldn't even think that I would come to somebody else's house. Your house could be junky, nasty. You could be cursing. And all the things that I disagree with, I have the right to decide, you know what, this is not a good idea. I can leave.
Right.
But unless they ask me for some kind of opinion about nothing, I don't have the right to be in your house telling you what to do. That ain't my life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started.
I welcome controversy. I'm actually all for that, and I'm all for different opinions, but in a civilized manner. And I don't, to say that social networking is not, you know, social whatever. It's very.
We live in a mean world.
I don't know.
We live in a mean world, and we live in a world
Who's
where
that?
People cancel culture. They love to cancel you simply because you're different, or they don't know how to, you know what, I don't agree with that, but I ain't got to disrespect you. And there's something wrong with that. There's something very wrong with that.
Mm-mm. Right. But anyways, that's what happened. So for those that are listening and are missing me, I'm still alive. I'm still here. I'm doing great.
Amen.
Since I did that.
He just being
I'll
healthy.
Come back. I'll be back to Facebook, but, you know, it'll be when it's time, and that's not going to happen until I feel I'm ready to come back. But anyways, speaking of your poetry, because this is your show today, and we only have like 10 minutes, so I don't want to take over all the time, but I would love to hear your favorite piece from your poetic affirmations. If you have it available.
Yes. Since we're talking about doing things so that we can be peaceful, right? You're for me to keep peace on social media, I just block and delete people. I don't argue with people no more. I don't do that. And for you, you will take a whole step back to keep peace with yourself. So I'm going to lead with an affirmation for peace, okay? Here we go. am peace. A well of tranquility with words I speak. Since the spring can't produce both bitter and sweet, I welcome the Holy Spirit to do an inside sweep. My mouth is my ministry. Using resources is my responsibility. I be the rock in Gethsemane, calm to chaos before Calvary. Devils flee because they can't frustrate me. No wine or weed to medicate me. I refuse to worry. I easily sleep. Stress can't kill a plant with roots that run deep. Planted by river waters, toxins I release. Heart and soul healthy because I am peace. Even with turbulence at 30,000 feet, air pockets be nothing sweet. Green pastures be my home to make shalom. I'm secure like the alchemist sheep. Breathing so deep circulates in heat. And God so have noticed clear thoughts I still reap. Meditating on a psalm to keep calm. An absolute tranquilizer potent like Gilead's balm. Visualizing all goodness. Manifesting increase, becoming one with the one I am. I am peace.
Mm.
That's that peace.
Wow. Wow, that could be followed by India Reed. I can see that.
Hey, amen. Shout out to India. And that's a compliment right there because she's strong with it. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I can close
I'm
out
getting
this
actually
show with an artist affirmation if you like as well.
Mm-hmm. I will love that. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to this show as I made it in the show. And I usually listen to the show like two or three times before I post it. So I would love that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And because we're artists and because we're creators. And I work with artists all the time, and this is a very short one. And I know specifically with Hollywood being basically shut down, no one knows when production will get back. And because it's going to be so different when it does happen, a lot of artists, a lot of actors, their main source of what they do has been disrupted. And This is a time for people to dig deep and realize that acting is not, or whatever your thing was that's been disrupted, is not the only thing that you can do. This is not despair. Dig deep. You have so many more ways of expression that can be a spring of peace for you. It can and reaping what you need to take care of yourself. And so here I am going to close out with an artist affirmation, and it simply says, I am not a starving artist. I am light when night's the darkest. I go harder when life's the hardest. I keep it moving and go the farthest. I am an artist, and I am not starving. I eat fresh daily from the garden. Anything less, I beg your pardon. Y'all going to pay for what I'm charging. You going to wish you invested before I was charging. An artist affirmation.
Wow. Yay. You know, I'm going to wrap it up, too, with the thought that, yeah, we artists, we don't, or at least I don't, see the value in what I do. And I'm not talking about, you know, poetry or you know, if it's music or if it's theater or if it's podcasts, you know, like we're doing right now. I don't know what I'm doing until, you know, I visited later on and I'm like, hey, you know, I hope that touched somebody. Or somebody was listening, and somebody makes a comment, and I'm like, oh, cool, okay, so somebody's out there. And you know, thank God for art, and thank God for poetry. Thank God that we have entertainment, you know, to during the quarantine. Otherwise, we'll be bouncing off the walls right now without it. And so let's just be grateful that we have artists and we have, you know, to pay bills. And it's not easy to do what we do. And so we have to charge. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, but not sorry. Right.
No, ain't sorry at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, we still have time. Do you have another affirmation?
Oh, yeah. So let me reiterate the event that's coming up. I want to start at what? And then one more time. Yes,
before
yes,
we,
yes. So please attend a virtual daytime kickback. It's a poetic popcorn set, whereas I will be performing live poetry from my ebook and non-released as well. But I'll also be promoting my new popcorn line, Mama D's Buy Popcorn. It's locally based here in Los Angeles for pickup only, but you can check out the site at www.fypopcorn, which is fyepopcorn.com. And if you are going to attend the virtual kickback, it'll be Saturday, May 30th from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hit me on the Instagram at The Mouthpiece, M-O-U-T-H-P-E-A-C-E, The Mouthpiece, on Instagram for the daytime virtual kickback.
Right. And whoever's listening to, you know, if you – look below in the comments. I'm going to put all the information below. So, you know, you'll not have to, if you just go back to it later and just click on it and it'll send you to your link and your wonderful poetry and your popcorn business and everything that has to do with Shanera and Mouthpiece. But yeah. Thank you so much for calling, but we still have time. So if you want to take it out with another affirmation, I'll be very obliged and grateful.
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to think what else can I add about. Those are my highlights too. But if people are interested in hiring me for, at least virtually, to be a professional speaker, I do have three signature topics. One of them is called Kill the Clutter and Create. So how does a burnt-out baker become an award-winning artist? The clutter, mentally and physically, cultivating room for my practice to grow. The mission of that particular speech is to birth organized creatives. I know a lot of artists like to freestyle their life, but you got to get organized to get results and to track your results if what you're doing is even working. So that's called Kill the Clutter and Create. The other one is called How to Make It When You're Barely Making It. So if you got limited time, limited money, limited support, I know how to make a labor of love happen even when you think you're barely making it. I want to show you how I do that, how to get the resources. I am a multiple grant-winning artist. I got grants when I didn't even have a resume. I was so fresh on the poetry thing back in 2005 in Chicago. The first time I applied for my first grant, I didn't get it. And then that rejection spirit hit me real hard. And then I applied again. I dusted my shoulders off, tried it. And I remember when I got in 2006, I remember when I got the letter, the envelope, it didn't feel extremely heavy, like I was winning something. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't have time for them to be rejecting me. I swear I don't feel like time. And when I opened it and just see I got it, I kept winning every year after that through 2014 was the last time I won. So right before I came out here. And so, so I know, like, I'm trying to turn y'all on to saying, hey, people normally put out projects because they think that they can't do it because I don't have this, I don't have that. So that's the how to make it when you're barely making it will address that problem that creatives have. And you may not be a creative, but that's my specific audience. But some of this stuff, it will turn the dial, if you will, on people who are stuck. Maybe they make cupcakes. You know, I don't know. This is definitely going to help you to get the resources that you need. And then finally, the last one is called The Struggle is Trio, a Creator's Blueprint. So like any builder, you have to start with the end in mind. Starting with the desired result, I'm going to give you tools to create an actual blueprint for your artist legacy. So this is about being a focused creator. So I'm the first mission for Kill the Clutter, I want you to be organized. The second one for How to Make It When You're Barely Making It, I'm trying to birth resourceful creators. And then the final one, my mission is to birth a focused creator. So some of the simple tools, when I was creating my one-woman show, I paid my HFF application fee, like top of February, after I found out I didn't get that scholarship. And I was like, are you serious? I didn't have a script. My script was nowhere near done. But when I paid that $300 application fee, the clock was running. And I knew I had to really get with it. And so, here's one of the simple things. Because at that time, I was working a full-time job, and I was living in Inglewood. And so here I was, 9 to 5, taking an hour to get home, get something to eat. And so I literally got 3 to 4, about pushing hours before my body just gives out, right? And so you have to know what your limit is. And I remember hearing Muhammad Ali talk about what it was like when he was training. He said he hated every day of training. He said I hate it. But he did it, and he became great at what he was doing, because success is literally the result of consistency. And so when you think about, oh, am I going to practice for 3-4 hours straight, most of us don't have that kind of focus. And I don't like to sit in nobody's study hall, nobody's meeting for 2 and 3 hours straight. If people don't break after 30